Welcome to A Course in Miracles.
Colorado's really dry.
How many people here are familiar with Gary Renard?
With what?
Gary Renard. So somehow Gary Renard, through his ways, became aware of what he called the reincarnation of Helen Schuckman, the scribe of Course in Miracles, and his little girl. And she said she didn't want to be known as Helen Schuckman, but she was already calling the Foundation for Inner Peace, and she was giving Ken Wapnick a hard time when she was a little girl, asking hard questions and making statements. And Ken thought, wow, that's Helen. But they kept it a secret until now. So now she's decided she's willing to be known. She is. So
How old is she now?
I guess she's young in college, maybe. Mm-hmm. Feels like she's just in college.
Is that her picture?
Yeah, that's her picture.
Really?
I'll pass it around.
I've been very curious about her. I heard about her.
Oh, everybody, this is Bert.
Hello.
Bert, this is everybody. A variety of names, and they're all interesting. Well, we can do names.
Kenny.
Mimi.
Julie.
Hi, Julie.
Zoe.
Carol.
Walt.
Hi, Walt.
Luann.
Bridget.
I'm Cecily.
John.
Andrew.
John.
David.
All right.
Very good.
Let's see if I can remember.
Okay, so Gary writes. He says, hi, friends. Young lady on the left. I'll pass this around. Next to me and Cindy is Alzana, who's given me permission to reveal that she is the reincarnation of Helen Schuckman, the scribe of A Course in Miracles. Alzana, who is smarter than me, read The Disappearance of the Universe and started doing A Course in Miracles at the age of 7. I first met her a year later. By the time she was 12, she was writing to Ken Wapnick and giving him advice. At one point, Ken wrote to Judith Scutch Whitson, president of the FIP, the original publishers of The Course, and said, "That's Helen." So I'm just one of several close friends who knew or know about Alzana. I'm honored that she and I have become close. We sometimes refer to each other as my best friend, which Ken didn't like at first because he said it was bad grammar, but he came around. And hey, we know what we mean. Alzana is not teaching the course right now because she's focusing on going to college. But it wouldn't surprise me if the teachers of a course someday, she teaches a course someday, along with doing whatever career she chooses. And it would be perfectly all right with me if she doesn't teach the course. After all, Art and Impressa didn't teach the course in public during their last lifetime. Why did Alzana and I choose to share this right now with you? It's because I've been guided that there's someone else out there who will claim that they are the reincarnation of Helen, and then teaching something that's not really the same message as the course. It's important that we stick to the course, and I know that Alzana would always do that, whether she chooses to go public or not. So it seems it's time to let you know that Alzana is the real deal. In any case, Alzana and her mom and Cindy and me are Ohana, and thank you, Alzana, my best friend. Please try to contact her maybe someday. So, just dropping the news because it's fun.
Yeah. When did you write that?
A week ago.
Oh, wow.
And so this girl with the picture is the one who's the real deal?
It's the real deal.
Yeah. Okay.
Apparently. As if it matters. Well, that'd be interesting if she comes out really, you know, in force with awareness of Helen's stories and everything. That'd be fun. But it doesn't matter, because the only thing you have to do in this lifetime is your own awakening. And it doesn't matter what other person or form shows up, to be the scribe or Jesus himself. It's up to your personal awakening for your freedom. That's what's it about. Anything else is in the way. Any guru is in the way. Anybody who might have something viable to you outside your own head is in the way. This is a journey of freedom inward, right inside you. All this is a big arrow pointing back into you. And from there, you will come alive. You'll be reborn to recognize what you are. Good, good. Okay, welcome again to A Course in Miracles. Thank you, Julie, very much for last week. Anybody who attended, Julie ran the meeting last week. and it was free beer apparently, so if you didn't come.
Fill the room.
She knows how to back them in. She can throw a meeting. All right. Okay, as we do. Shoes are usually left out in the greeting area.
I'll remember that next time.
Very good, thanks. So, as we do, we are going to pick one of the important bridges, we'll call it, in your spiritual path. It's also a bridge to your awakening, and it's also a bridge to love. They would all be the same, seen with the right mind, anyway. But this one is also the way that you would know that you were what the Course calls a teacher of God. We're going to look at the idea of giving tonight. Giving. It's so important. This very simple concept that could be overlooked so easily and all co-opted by the ego instantly too. But the idea of you even being able to give anything of value is opposite to the ego. Actually give without losing. Opposite to the ego. Actually give and gain by giving. Opposite to the ego. Ego says to give is to bargain at best and to lose at worst. Course in Miracles says to give is merely to share at worst and to reflect truth at best. It's always good. The Course in Miracles says the law of love itself is as you give, you receive. The law of love itself. How would you know what love is, real love with a capital L, or what God is? Course in Miracles says, turns out there's something you can do about that. You can recognize the reflection of your thoughts in your world. That's what it means. You can recognize the reflection of your thoughts in your world. Well, that means if you're thinking fear, you're going to get fear. That's where the fear came from, if that's what showed up. That means if you're thinking love, you get love. That's where it came from. That's why it showed up. It's a reflection of your thoughts in your world. Being as you give, you receive. You say, I recognize. I recognize that trading that goes on in my life. When I think worry, I get worry. Me first. When I think hatred thoughts that somebody I hate somebody else, you get the hate first. They may never get it. In fact, they will never get it. Not the way you're thinking it. You will. And so you'll suffer by your own sword. The Course calls it a two-edged sword.
You call it sacrifice.
It turned out to be a sacrifice. A hollow victory. A hollow victory that someone else can suffer when the sword has to go through you first. The Course points out it has to go through you first and then into the other person if you want to make a real attack. And then by that I mean you get personal. By that I mean you dig in, you try to hurt them. By that I mean you judge them to be sinful or not worthy. Evil. That's a real attack, isn't it? The Course says, well, you have to put the sword through you first. Making that kind of loss real in the world. Well, you're in the world too! Hello! If you paint the world with hate, it means that hate could come back to you the same way. If you look at sickness in the world, just to pull out another example, it means that if you think that sickness is real and affects somebody's happiness, careful now, and their ability to love or be loved, careful now. If you see that as real, you are picturing the world in which you live. You're no better. Do you really deserve anything different than the other person who has this problem? So the Course says, careful. And then it gently reminds you, you are dreaming a dream. And all the figures in it, with yourself just another one among them, it's not real. But it will be exactly as you think. But it's not real. But it will hurt if you think it should hurt. But it's not real. It will laugh if you think it's funny. But it's not real. It will love if you allow it. But it will be loving something that's not real, with a love that is. And that brings to tonight's topic, which is a close cousin of love. What does it mean to give? What does it mean to give? Let's think about that for a few minutes. Let's try to dig in and just feel our way through this interesting word. And by the way, before we dig in, just to put a little context on that word, did you know in the Course in Miracles, with 500,000 words, 497,000 words in this book, and it refers to giving, number 5. The fifth most used word in the entire book is gift and giving. Because it is a close cousin to loving, and a direct challenge to the ego, and an indication that you would receive love were you to ask for it. All these contexts in which it uses giving. It's the fifth highest used term in the book. Who knew? What are the others? What others you ask? Well, I'm glad you did.
I didn't ask.
I'll just give you a couple because it's so fun. It's been a long time. I printed them out a long time ago. I'll give you. All right. So the first most referred to word in the whole book is God and Father, by 200%. The next most used term in the entire book is to see or look. Right? Hey, look! Jesus is like, open your eyes. Jesus is like, open your mind. Look. Number 3 is truth. Number 4 is one or oneness. Number 5 is gift. Giving. Given. Number 6 in the whole book is mind. With a close 7th is thought. Well, that's your Course in Miracles, isn't it? How you think is how you see. Well, you start going backwards on it. How you think is how you see.
I'm surprised love isn't in the top 5.
Isn't that interesting?
But he says that this is not the really person love, right? Because it's beyond the what can be taught. Yeah, that one.
But what is all encompassing? Yeah, it speaks love. Of love all over the place.
Love is kind of very implied through the whole book, but not, the word isn't really used, but it's such implied in a way that so that we ideas for us to realize this is all about love.
Yeah.
And it's kind of implied.
Yeah. Well, the awakening is all about love as far as where you're going, but the awakening is more about fear, where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. In other words, we don't need to learn about love if that's what you already are.
Yeah.
We do need to learn about fear, worry, doubt, anger, attack, if you think that's true. Love will take care of itself. You've noticed that in your meditation. When you actually chill, and you go still, and you feel like this is a good time to meditate and go still, Your heart fills, your mind goes still. Your body might even disappear a bit, huh? Time disappears a little bit. All that takes care of itself. You didn't create that. You just stopped doing everything else that was in the way of being still. A Course in Miracles is an undoing. It's an undoing of wrong thinking. It's an undoing of the barriers that you have invented and think are real to the awareness of love's very presence in your life all the time. It's an undoing. So A Course in Miracles is actually about a whole bunch of crap. It's about ego and your fixation. I mean, love is strewn throughout because what we were talking about, it's where we're going. So every once in a while he says, this is what you get. If you cross the bridge with the Holy Spirit, this is what you get. If you learn to give away the fixation of the ego and give love in its place, this is what you get. But A Course in Miracles, A Course in Miracles. If you need A Course in Miracles, it's because you need miracles. And miracles deal with error and wrong thinking. No error, no miracle. That's why I'm so grateful for the book, because it really deals with where you really are. It deals with where I really am. If I'm not perfectly happy, I need a miracle, and then I can be happy. The light returns. Yes?
I think it's so interesting because, you know, we talked about this when Julie was leaving last week a little bit, and it stuck with me so much, this kind of metaphor you gave, Julie, of that, like, if you have all this dirt on your glasses and you can't see, you have to, like, wipe that stuff away in order to see clearly. And that's kind of like the same thing that you're saying. It's like the job is to get the gunk off, and then the love and the truth is just there. We don't have to like do anything.
Perfectly said.
Yeah.
It's perfectly said. Any gunk that's left on will get too much of your attention.
Yeah.
Like a dirty window. You'll be looking at the spot instead of through the window. And the whole purpose is to look out.
Yeah, and good. And then I also was thinking about this line in the book has really been sticking with me the last couple of weeks, that we don't need judgment to organize our reality.
Yes. Especially when you recognize that judgment, the kind of judgment Course in Miracles is talking about, is sin and evil and things that have a power to take your happiness away. We don't need that to organize reality here.
Right. I mean, like, so tonight before I was coming over here, I was on like social media, and I saw this thing that said, do you know that most adults spend like 3 years of their life looking to recover their passwords? And I was like, oh my god, I can never remember my password. And that's totally me. And then I thought, well, that what a waste of our time. Like, that was the message this little thing was telling, you know, don't waste your time by searching for passwords. And then I was like, so there's like a judgment there that there's a good way to spend our time, and there's a bad way to spend our time, and recovering passwords is a bad way to spend your time, right? And so that's like using judgment to organize our reality, right? Like, here's my day. Oh, don't want to spend it recovering passwords because that would be a waste of my time. Uh-huh. But what's not a waste of my time, and that's using judgment to organize our reality. But all of that, it's just the dirt on the glasses. Like, all of that.
All of that.
Yeah, even the good way to spend even your time the good is way. Dirt on the glasses.
If you're spending time, it's muck on the glasses. If you're trying to gain time, if you're trying to save time, it's muck on the glasses. Enlightenment and awakening is always right now. And you deal with whatever in peace. Yep.
I love the idea of not having to organize our reality.
Yeah, there. It's not going to make any difference.
Right?
Your reality for your body, right? I'm talking bodies here, right? World and body. No matter what you do on the level of the body, it's the same level. No matter what you do. If it's physical, if you can see it, touch it, feel it, it's all the same level. All this potential, all that it could give, it's the same level. And there's only two levels, right? There's spirit or there's material. So if it's not spirit, it's material. And it just doesn't matter because it's completely fixed. You're dreaming that. You can dream it again 1,000 times, 1,000 ways. And you already have, by the way. This is just the one you're focused on right now. Right? Even this you dreamed. It doesn't matter. It's right. It's a very, very freeing thought to recognize that. And now you can have a little more fun. Even as your body may lose. And it will lose. Everybody's body will lose. Didn't you know? Everybody will gain some and lose some here. That's the game. The script is written. Course says, do it without fear. And now we can use it. Do it with the Holy Spirit. And now we can use it. And actually bring light. And use it for that which you are made. Joy. Even here. And giving is one of the tools that goes directly against the ego's laws. Directly against the ego's laws. So we'll look at that. I'll just throw at you a couple more of these because they're fun. Let's read up to 20, just for kicks. So number 8 is world. 9 is holy. Then real reality. And then finally, number 11, brother. I'm surprised that didn't come sooner, huh? And then made and make, number 12. It's talking about the problem, isn't it? 13 now is love. 14 is learn. Then sun. Then time. And then perception. And then creation. And then meaning at number 19. And then Course in Miracles, the 20th most used term is belief and believe. Isn't that fascinating? It's what the book is about. It's what the book is about.
I'm curious.
Yeah.
Is there like a computer program that figures all that same word that comes up many times?
No, one time I
sit there and count.
I went in down to Santa Cruz Pacific Avenue, got some methamphetamine. And I stayed up for a week.
Speed red.
And I counted them. Yeah. Yeah, there is. Yeah, there's a couple computer programs.
New technology.
Yeah.
An old technology.
In the day.
Yeah, there
it's
is.
It's like you think the word though or a would come up more than those other words.
Yes, but you can. There's numbers also that come up more, you know, than those words. So, let's think about the idea of gift. What does it mean to give? Stew on that a little bit. Why is this a spiritual term? Why would A Course in Miracles choose to teach you and to bend your mind around giving and gift and given? Why would that be important on a book ostensibly about love? It's called A Course in Miracles. What does it mean to give? Imagine that this would be one of the most basic things discussed in the whole book. Dave, what's something, what happens when you give? It's an aspect of giving. Anything at all?
It's kind of, to me, it's more like a theme. It's not, you know, it's like giving seems this one thing that just happens. It's a very loving experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
premeditated. It's not an angling. It just happens.
Yeah, kind of like when you do it, it's like,
innocent.
Because it's not this physical stuff. That's just a day job. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, all that abstract. Hard to explain when you kind of feel it sometimes.
But there's that feeling right before you give. You want to give. Isn't that an interesting moment?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Bert, what's something about giving?
I think you have to empathize with the situation of the person you're giving to. And you have to want to. I think giving is sharing love. And whether it be giving your time or giving your attention or giving money, it's an act of love.
It's not done blindly. You're actually looking what you're doing.
Yeah, it's purposeful.
Ha! Ha! It's just, it actually has a purpose. Nice. It has a purpose! Isn't purpose a great way to live?
The purpose is to give, to share love.
Not to get? It's not, the ego wants to give to get. That's the law of the ego. Give when you can really afford it and you'll get something for it. Like your name on a plaque, or maybe get some more in return, or some credit. No, that's not what Bert's talking about. That's not what Dave's talking about. Just showed up. This desire to give just showed up, and it's a little overwhelming, isn't it? When you actually want to give, that little feeling in you says, I can help. Isn't that just a little overwhelming? It's such a happy feeling for me when I want to give. Kenny, what's something about giving?
Well, I was thinking of a friend of mine when he was talking about his story.
Yeah.
And so I saw him underneath that.
Huh.
That was when, you know, I could give to him.
Yeah. You would give to him by seeing his true identity.
Yeah.
What a gift. And didn't you receive a breath of fresh air when you did that?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, I didn't have to give any advice.
You know. Beautiful.
Just.
Yeah. Yeah.
See him.
Forever. You see that once, you've actually seen it forever. You know there's another way to look. It's a huge gift for both of you. What A Course in Miracles calls healing. Seeing him underneath the appearance, that's real healing in A Course in Miracles. Nice. Miley, what's something about giving?
Well, what came up immediately was the discussion we had the first meeting I came to 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Which was projection and extension.
Oh.
And projection can be a vast array of things, but it's all ego-based and it all bounces back at you. And it all tends to have a negative or a constricting aspect to it. Whereas love is what is being, extension is the force of love that goes through us.
Uh-huh.
And so it keeps going. Yeah. It's like it doesn't do the ricochet back to it thing to us that the projection does.
Yeah.
That does an immediate boom boom. The love and is it's it we become like a vessel or a channel and it just pours through.
Yeah.
And it's limitless because it just keeps going and we're filled with it as it's going through and passing through us.
Nice.
To another.
So giving is through you,
right.
Not from you.
Right.
That's huge.
And then it's like seeing the great rays.
Wow.
In the other.
Yes.
And so anytime I'm not doing that, and there's some people I have a really hard time doing that with, you know, I have to look at the rarefications of ego that are still there. That's some very gross ego. Because If yeah. I think that guy's an asshole.
That would be something from you.
I can't get away with it.
That's very nice.
Because of the cords.
That's nice. It's an energy that flows through
it flows
you,
through.
Said.
Yeah.
And Dave
and
says...
To me, it is the... Love is the universal current.
That's what Dave said. He just shows up. He said he didn't really make it. It just suddenly it happens.
Right.
The giving starts
similar,
to happen in
very
it, he says.
Similar to what he was saying.
I don't really know exactly where...
Yeah.
That's beautiful. It feels very different.
If I would have made it up, it would have been something to do with the ego.
Right? Ego.
You know?
Mm-hmm. You just,
well, this is kind of cool. At first, you think it's like you're doing it to someone out there, but then you realize it's you, and then it becomes, for lack of a better term, us.
Yeah, because it's a bigger you than
us.
Dave.
You go, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Julie, what's something about giving?
Well, I think it's a... freeing my own mind. Like, I think what keeps us from giving is all this expectation.
Ah.
What will happen if, or, you know,
yes.
will it be received, or
yes.
I can't do this because X happened, or whatever. So it's, I think the first gift is freeing my mind so that willingness is just there.
Wow. And that's kind of like the extension. Because it's a big trust, unconditional, and a flow. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have a target, it doesn't have a condition that has to be met to even know that it was received mm-hmm. anywhere else. Mm-hmm. But when it's time, it's time. It's very freeing of the mind mm-hmm. to not hold back, mm-hmm. to not be conditional and decide, is this good enough? Mm-hmm. Will I be judged if I give somebody a rusty piece of metal? Should I just give because it's time? Because it's time. I want to give. It's beautiful. Free your mind. I love it. I totally track with that. Very nice. Mm-hmm. Zoe, what's something about giving?
Well, the thing for me is the willingness to give without any thought of return.
Yes.
And it's like, I was born naturally to be a giver,
mm-hmm.
and I've really come to appreciate the oneness in that. It's I'm giving
mm-hmm.
or extending.
Yes.
And yet it does come back 100-fold.
Aha.
Like, the more I give, the more I receive.
Yes.
And then the question is, what am I giving to this person?
Good, Zoe. It may look like a thing, or money, or time. It may have some limits to it in this world. But what are you really giving that could come back 100-fold? It must not be the money. It must not be the time, or the effort, or the weekend day. It must be something else.
It's
that you're
motivated,
actually getting.
Yeah, it's this motivated is, through love.
This love, this experience, this energy that's flowing we're talking about, this ability to see something for its true essence is the real gift. To actually see it differently. That's a miracle. And then you get the effect of the holy instant feeling you get of something bigger happening than just you giving time or money or whatever.
Yeah.
Love.
And the love just kind of erases me, you know, like
nice.
When it's occurring.
Yes.
It's kind of powerful to know.
Yes.
You know, because sometimes it's so spontaneous.
Yes.
I don't realize it's happening.
Natural, spontaneous.
It's just automatic.
Yes.
And then what happens is like the energy from the other person receiving is like a wave. It's like, whoa. You know?
Yeah.
It feels awesome.
Little Zoe ego could not have calculated the right way to give that would get back a response like that. But Miley says it just flows through her.
Well, and see, what I, the image I have with what you were saying is that this is the healing of separation.
Mm-hmm.
Because you said you were describing this circular mm-hmm. action that was not just out and back, but this. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Carol, what's something about giving?
Well, I was thinking that it's really the self just going away.
Mm. Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Yeah. And
really? Dr. Hawkins said that the biggest Course in Miracles teacher in Sedona, Arizona, 10% of the whole population went to his meetings. David Hawkins.
Huh.
Yeah. He had a brilliant comment once. He said, self, little s self, is content, or as big as self is context. He was a master with the words. It's a letting go, yeah. For you to actually give, and for Zoe to give, it couldn't be little Zoe self.
Mm-hmm.
There's something bigger going on.
It's part of a quest for oneness that we all have, I think.
Yeah, and maybe even a connection to oneness.
Oh, yeah.
What Bert was saying is he doesn't do it blindly.
Yeah.
He actually looks at what's going on, and he's doing something inclusive of the receiver. Not blindly, but intentionally, in fact, on purpose. And his heart lights up just to do that. It's a connection. It's not the little self that would only do it with a contract of some sort. Good. The disappearance of the self. I like it. Well, what's something with of giving?
Joy.
Joy. What is that? Feeling when you want to give.
Joy.
It's joy.
It's joy.
I don't know if there's more joy.
There isn't.
It's like there, it's just bubbling over. I want to give.
Mm-hmm.
I want to give. Now. To you. Now. It's wonderful. What a great insight. What a great meditation. To meditate on that joyful instant when you want to give. Whether or not you give, it doesn't matter. That little window is light that goes beyond the self. Absolutely. Loanne, what's something about giving?
Well, to be truthful, I love everything everybody said, but it isn't what I came up with when we were doing the meditation. Because of probably where I am in the book and the lessons I'm on. What I want for people is for them to feel free. And what I know is that when I am judging them, I feel pain. And when I feel pain, that means I'm not allowing them the freedom that I want them to have. And that means I have to just use judgment.
Do you want freedom yourself?
I want what I want for them, yes.
And so what do you want for you?
The same thing, I want freedom.
Aha! So your gift to them, or if you could, if you had the power to do it.
But I do have the power to do it.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, because sometimes I do.
Sometimes you're not judgmental.
Sometimes I'm not judgmental.
Wow. Sometimes you're tolerant.
Tolerant means they're still guilty, but I'm being tolerant of it.
Oh.
I'm not sure that's what tolerant means, but that's what it means to me.
All right.
Now, sometimes what I have to realize is what I'm judging about them about is something within me. And it's not them that has that, it's me that has that.
So freedom.
So if I can admit, if I can say, this is all about me.
Yeah.
It's not about you.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what I'm giving them, is I'm giving them a freedom.
You know what Carol says? She says freeing her mind.
It's kind of the same thing.
Free her mind!
Right, and
that's really personal.
It's very personal.
You want freedom. You would like somebody else to have freedom.
I think of them first. I think, what am I doing when I am saying this or that about them in my mind?
And in order for you to give them freedom,
I have to
free your own mind of judgment.
Free my own mind.
So it's all about freedom.
So it's all about, for me, just the disuse of judging.
Yeah, and Cecily was telling us, hey, listen, it doesn't matter anyway. You may as well be free now, because everything you're worrying about is just gunk on your glasses.
Right, all the judgments I have are gunk.
Yeah.
And I'm in the process of freeing myself from them.
Nice. Sooner the better.
Yeah. I agree.
Bridget, what's something about giving?
I used to get all boggled up with giving because it was so material.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
It's like, eh.
Yeah.
And now, knew the miracle of the Course in Miracles is giving with spirit and just that awareness of there's no time or space. I can give to anybody, anywhere, anytime.
Wow.
They don't even have to know it.
They don't have to know it.
You can just send it out. I mean, it can be world, universal.
Universally, then.
Massive groups of people that get light.
Yeah. If it's all the same level. Of Course in Miracles says, chapter 27:28 says, look, you are the dreamer of the dream. Then you could start giving whatever as the dreamer of the dream. It's quite potent.
Yeah, and the connectedness of the one mind.
Not alone the effects of your thoughts. You have them. We all have them. You have thoughts of freedom. We all have thoughts of freedom. What do you give as the dreamer of the dream is received? Whoa.
Eventually, even if people don't want to get it.
Even if they don't want to get it.
Holy Spirit will keep it for them.
You're the dreamer of the dream. So as much as you can afford to let it happen, it will happen. Sometimes that happens pretty damn quick. Other times you wonder, where did they go? But then with like a lot of Course in Miracles students, like when you go around the room and talk about what's Course doing in your life, you find out that the things you did 5 years ago, now the foundation of what you trust today, and you never saw it coming. How much strength you got and how much you've been relying on A Course in Miracles, you didn't even see it. Until a few years later, you look back and say, whoa, I am so much more confident that I'm taken care of. Or that it'll work out okay. Or I don't have to be afraid. Very good. You bet. Thank you.
Doesn't it feel
anytime, anywhere.
Doesn't it feel like a miracle to me when I just realize that it feels like a miracle when I realize that I have freed myself and freed them to do whatever they want to do and for me to search for meaning in my life.
So beautiful. So beautiful. We're talking about cousins of love, and freedom is a cousin of love. If you read Jesus in Journey Beyond Words, he says it straight out about 10 times in a row. He says, look, freedom is love because love is freedom. And then wishing freedom is very loving.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
beautiful.
It feels like a miracle.
Anytime, anywhere, Bridget. Wow. Did you realize how much power you have? Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I was looking up. Cecily, what's something about giving?
So, I don't really know how this relates, but in the meditation, what came up for me, it was giving it away, like negative stuff. Like, I was meditating, giving it over to God, giving it to Holy Spirit, giving away the illusion. Like, so it's a different concept that came up for everybody else, but that's what came up for me.
Sure. Well, like I was talking about, A Course in Miracles is nothing if it isn't practical. And it's about undoing. And oh my God, the book is about giving away the illusion. Because we hold the illusion so real and true and dear, but it isn't. We're not this. And the sooner we give it up, the sooner we forgive our small S identity, the sooner love and joy return, and we go back to creating.
Yeah, because I've gotten from this book and other spiritual studies and stuff, mm-hmm. like, you know, if I have, like, fear or guilt yeah. or negative thoughts or anything, to, like, you know, that give those over to God, and that God mm-hmm. will take them
yes.
from me.
Yes.
Because I don't know how to get rid of them.
Yes.
You know? So that was...
Absolutely. One of the analogies of a spiritual journey and of one who's on a spiritual path, we like to say, they're on fire! You heard that term?
Mm-hmm.
It's because they're burning off the illusion. The truth is coming so fast, and they can throw all these memories and thoughts and worries and judgments right into the fire of truth that is in their mind now. They're on fire. You are on fire. You're letting letting that fire consume all these wrong thoughts, and they just disappear for the nothingness they are. Oh, yeah. Give it all over to the fire.
Go on fire.
John, what's something about Gary?
It's a book.
Well, my latest example, I live in a home that I rent from an elderly couple, and I noticed a ton of cobwebs up on the roof, rather ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been there ever since I've been there, and probably 20 years before. And they're kind of drooping, and they're ugly, and they've got dirt on them, and one almost fell into my soup once. So I said to the lady just today, I said, look, I'm going to clean all these cobwebs off of here on Saturday. And because this is gross. This is, you know, messed up. And so no problem. I'm going to handle it. You know, no cost to it, no money. And her gratitude to me just struck a chord in me, and I'm tearing up, you know.
Mm.
It's just reflective of the joy of giving.
Yeah.
I think deep inside of me.
Yeah.
And it's just, so I had to turn away, didn't want her to.
Yeah.
And,
right then she was so grateful.
Yeah, she was just glad for me to do that, and she was grateful. And, made me feel, for some reason, just struck a deep chord in me, and it's no big deal, you know. But
no big deal, right?
Hours, but, you know.
But in that moment,
mm-hmm.
in that moment,
it just is something I think is akin to joy.
Akin to joy, as Walt said.
Akin to joy.
Yes. And
akin to joy, okay.
Akin to joy, right?
That's what you want.
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Akin to joy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it reflected back to you instantly for the purpose that it had. You didn't even know how much it meant to her. Mm-hmm. And it probably wasn't the cobwebs. It's probably you stood up and said, let me do this. Let me make this home better. Who knows what it was to her? We'll never know. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But the energy flowed.
It's not much of a... I'm going to call him a giver kind of guy.
Yeah.
He's a Christian guy. I'm not going to diss him.
All right.
Too far, but...
All right. But something flowed. Like for Miley, something flowed right then.
She's not used to somebody just saying, I'm just offering...
Anyway, it was more than cobwebs.
Yeah, that's for
sure. Something more happened there.
I like it.
Okay, you like it. Good.
No, I like her.
You like her?
Yeah, I like her a lot.
But you didn't do it for the guy.
I like her a lot. She's a good, real good people.
Nice. Turn to workbook page 354, lesson 187. Workbook on the bottom of the page, back of the book, page 354. 354.
In the back of the book?
In the workbook, in the lessons.
Yes.
In the back of the, not the front of the book.
Right. There's the front and the back, and I'm still learning the difference.
Okay, it'll come to you. A flash of understanding.
A flash of enthusiasm.
So she wants front and back. Luann wants lessons. Other people want lessons.
Bottom of the page, it says 354. It's most of the way through the book. It's lesson 187. Let's read a paragraph each. Hit it.
Yay.
Paragraph
one.
One? Okay.
I bless the world because I bless myself. Do you see the circle?
So no one can give unless he has. In fact, giving is proof of having.
Man, I hope that's underlining your book. Because that works for the material world and the spiritual world.
You know, I'll underline it right now.
I mean, if you want to know, I mean, it's just pointing at a universal truth. You can ride this one through your meditations. Go ahead.
So, no one can give unless he has. In fact, giving is proof of having. We have made this point before. What seems to make it hard to credit is not this. No one has can doubt that you must first possess what you would give. It is the second phase on which the world and true perceptions differ. Having had and given, then the world asserts that you have lost what you possessed. The truth maintains that giving will increase what you possess.
Bert?
How is this possible? For it is sure that if you give a finite thing away, your body's eyes will not perceive it yours. Yet we have learned that things but represent the thoughts that make them. And you do not lack for proof that when you give ideas away, you strengthen them in your own mind. Perhaps the form in which the thought seems to appear is changed in giving. Yet it must return to him who gives. Nor can the form it takes be less acceptable. It must be more.
Could you read the next one?
You don't want to read?
Okay. Thanks.
Ideas must first belong to you before you give them. If you are to save the world, you must first accept salvation for yourself. But you will not believe that this is done until you see the miracles it brings to everyone you look upon. Until you see the miracles it brings to everyone you look upon. Herein is the idea of giving clarified and given meaning. Now you can perceive that by your giving is your store increased.
Protect all things you value by the act of giving them away, and you are sure that you will never lose them. What you thought you did not have is thereby proven yours. Yet value not its form, for this will change and grow unrecognizable in time, however much you try to keep it safe. No form endures. It is the thought behind the form of things that lives unchangeable.
Beautiful paragraph. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Give gladly. You can only gain thereby. The thought remains and grows in strength as it is reinforced by giving. Thoughts extend as they are shared, for they cannot be lost. There is no giver and receiver in the sense the world conceives of them. There is a giver who retains, another who will give as well, and both must gain in this exchange. For each will have the thought in form most helpful to him. What he seems to lose is always something he will value less than what will surely be returned to him.
Mm-hmm. Never forget, you give but to yourself. Who understands what giving means must laugh at the idea of sacrifice. Nor can he fail to recognize the many forms which sacrifice may take. He laughs as well at pain and loss, at sickness and at grief, at poverty, starvation, and at death. He recognizes sacrifice remains the one idea that stands behind them all, and in his gentle laughter are they healed.
What is he talking about here? This is a big scare. Laugh at death? I mean, who else but an enlightened one could laugh at death? Who else but a right-minded one could laugh at poverty? Who else but a Christ could laugh at sickness? Surely, there's more being discussed here than meets the eye. And the vector? The vector is the idea of giving. To be seen through is not a loss. As Puri's paragraph says, the ego says you lose what you give. No. Of course, even in form, when you truly give, you gain. If you truly give, and there's joy. This is a stamp of giving. How many times would John be willing to carve those cobwebs off the ceiling after that response? It's not just better soup. Please continue.
Well, and he's laughing. But are laughing at all these things that sound so big deal because they're all illusion. These are all things that have been discussed as illusion.
Yes.
And
we're over 1,000 pages into the book, and by now you get it.
Yeah. Well, and I was thinking about my daughter because I'm trying to get some of this information across to her because I'm watching her suffer a lot.
Yes.
And I know it's not real.
Yes.
And so she was trying to prove through this feng shui book she'd been reading that if the energy's bad, you know, this will happen, this will happen.
Yes.
And she started listing them, and I just burst out laughing because it was so ridiculous.
Yeah.
And she got it, and then she started laughing too, and then she goes, yeah, but, and then, you know, it says that this is happening, and then she catches her, and we're pretty soon we're both rolling on the floor.
That's a moment I like to call where reality leaks. You know, the world's illusion leaks.
Well, we're laughing at her illusion that she's in this deep suffering, and here she's proving it.
Nice. You bet.
And she caught it.
Nice.
Yeah.
She's painting the prison bars. She's painting the prison bars, and with feng shui, she says, well, only a small window would do, and I can never escape.
Yeah.
Oh. So. Silly.
So anyway, I feel like I'm very akin to this sentence that seems so heartless.
You saw it perfectly. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. It's indeed. Ah, yet there's more. Who's up?
Illusion recognized must disappear. Accept not suffering, and you remove the thought of suffering. Your blessing lies on everyone who suffers, when you choose to see all suffering as what it is. The thought of sacrifice gives a rise to all the forms that suffering appears to take. When sacrifice is an idea so mad that sanity dismisses it at once.
That's kind of the opposite then of the giving we've all been talking about. Sacrifice. Or, careful with this one, charity. Take a week off of work, your hard-earned vacation time, and you're going to spend it doing some charity work. Go down someplace and help move the sacks of sand for the levee, or paint the church, or take care of the sick ones that need your help so badly. Otherwise, they will suffer. They need your charity. Watch this one very carefully. Charity can be the perfect loving act where you get to show up and let the energy flow. Or it can be a contract. Be very careful. The ego can take control of this idea.
You can make it into a currency for your payment to get into heaven.
Just like that.
Well, I was also hearing it proving lack, right?
It's like, yes.
I gotta go fix this problem that's very real.
Yes.
Yeah.
Got to.
Doesn't mean that you can't go and do that thing, but that you're not attached to this idea that it's something that needs fixing.
Yes. Mm. Very good. That's right. Slippery slope. Have the Holy Spirit. Pack your Holy Spirit, too, if you're going to go do this. And use it. Oh, my God. Let's continue.
That's the idea that you're needed. Hmm? They need me.
It's an
ego thing.
Yeah.
Or it could be.
Could be.
Never believe that you can sacrifice. There is no place for sacrifice in what has any value. If the thought occurs, it is its very presence proves that error has risen and correction must be made.
Mm-hmm.
Your blessing will correct it. Given first to you, it now is yours to give as well. No form of sacrifice and suffering can long endure before the face of one who is forgiven and has blessed himself.
Mm-hmm.
The lilies that your brother offers you are laid upon your altar with the ones you offer him beside them. Who could fear to look upon such lovely holiness? The great illusion of the fear of God diminishes to nothingness before the purity that you will look on here. Be not afraid to look. The blessedness you will behold will take away all thought of form and leave instead the perfect gift forever there, forever to increase, forever yours, forever given away.
It's a huge hint. All thought of form should be underlined and highlighted, so that you can focus your understanding of that paragraph around the release of form as being the measure. What a relief! Nothing of form is forever, but the giving that was behind it is forever. That's why giving is such a spiritual term. The real giving we're talking about is really crossing a bridge. Away from loss, away from lack, the world of lack. To what John experienced, John touched into this hot wire. It was like electrified. He had no idea. Zam! That meant a lot to that woman. That act of giving and kindness. Whoa! What happened there? Holy cannoli. More. I'll do more. Want more?
You better actually do it.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, yeah, after that.
It's the thought that counts.
It's the thought that counts. All right, let's continue.
Now are we one in thought, for fear has gone. And here, before the altar, to one God, one Father, one Creator, and one thought, we stand together as one Son of God.
Okay, I just got to interrupt for a second. All of that oneness she's talking about, one thought, one Father, one God, one, is direct correlation to what happened in the previous paragraph. Form is not of one. Form is of separation. Form is a piece, right? Anything of form is a piece, a concentration of thought in a particular place in time. But the giving taps into this energy of the oneness we've been talking about when we went around the circle, of this connecting. Yes, you're lighting into the world of oneness at the second level, at the spiritual level. Only place oneness makes sense. Please continue.
Not separate from him who is our source, not distant from one brother who is part of our one self, whose innocence has joined us all as one, we stand in blessedness and give as we receive. That was a tricky sentence. Can I read that one again?
Yes, you did great, but do it again.
Not separate from him who is our source, not distant from one brother who is part of our one self, whose innocence. So you got to read that. I can't figure out the emphasis on that.
Okay, so he's going to basically hit the nail 3 or 4 times here. So when we talk about, when we join with these thoughts, we're tapping into oneness, a oneness that goes beyond the form or the picture that you might see as one brother, the shape they take. That assholy one who has been a thorn in your side for years, the minute you turn over, as Kenny did, and saw the real self underneath, even for an instant, he tapped into the oneness, even for an instant, and the gift was given to both. So, not separate from capital Him who is our God. Not separate from God, this person that we are giving their true identity for a moment. Not distant from one brother who is part of our one self. So we are joining. Do you recognize that oneness includes any parts you could possibly imagine, big or small? Any purpose of joining at any level is joining, period, because it moved out of the material level. There's only 2 levels, spiritual and material. And so now that even a grain of sand represents the whole. You give to the least among me. Give to the least among me, among you, you're giving to me. Give to the least among you, you're giving to me. It's the giving, it's not the least among you that he's talking about. You see, we're switching out of the material bounds of, did I give enough? Somebody else gave more. I only gave my time, and I could have gave time and money. The ego can jump in and rip it all apart. And then you have not given over to what Jesus would call the me, which is love. You haven't given to the love, which is just the idea of giving. Anytime, anywhere, it's the same. And it's real when you feel it. When you rise to the level of joy, in that instant of actually wanting to give, you have moved spiritually. This is what we're talking about. It may materialize into building a library, putting your name on it. Who knows? Okay. So, again, not separate from Him who is our source, God, not distant from one brother who is part of our one self, whose innocence has joined us all as one. We stand in blessedness together and give as we receive. Please continue.
The name of God is on our lips, and as we look within, we see the purity of heaven shine in our reflection of our Father's love.
The reflection of the Father's love is the sense of oneness. So the giving is giving to myself. The giving comes easily. When you see that you actually receive a little more than you gave. Somehow. This is what it means to be in touch with Spirit. And God says that your function is perfect happiness. You, in fact, are God's joy. And when you do something like this, which goes beyond what the form would say, just moving the cobwebs isn't enough for all the joy that John gave to all of us. You gave that to us too, by the way, right then. Is moving the cobwebs isn't enough to justify the love and the joy that sparked all of us. This is what God is. This is why it's very worthwhile to see the nothing as nothing, even though it looks precious, and to know it's all a limit because of this experience of oneness is so far beyond what the world can afford to ever give you. This is motivation for your spiritual awakening. It's a motivation to let go of the nightmare. But there's more. Let's continue.
Now are we blessed, and now we bless the world. What we have looked upon, we would extend, for we would see it everywhere. We would behold it shining with the grace of God in everyone. We would not have it be withheld from anything we look upon. And to ensure the holy sight is ours, we offer it to everything we see. For where we see it, it will be returned to us in form of lilies we can lay upon our altar, making it a home for innocence itself, who dwells in us and offers us his holiness as ours.
Oh yeah, that's like, give me more cobwebs to clean. This turned out great. Oh yeah, I got a new purpose. Okay, turn to tonight's reading on page 435.
Katrina's back.
Katrina's back.
The text.
In the text, 435.
Yeah, I've headed out a little early. Thank you.
Good night, Cecily.
Bye-bye.
Will you take the count?
Yeah,
Katrina.
Come on,
kitty.
Yeah. Page 435.
Not bad. Okay, 435, paragraph 7. Oh, I guess I'm up. Mm-hmm. Okay, paragraph 7, 435 in the text. Can you evaluate the giver of a gift like this? And really, we already have the picture of the gift in our minds. But as a refresher from last week, the big gift, the huge gift that you are given, you're given to give, as we've heard from a few, that it kind of comes through you, is perfect faith, is understanding, is inclusiveness in the moment. Right when you're in trouble, usually it's like you have a problem with your loved one and you're in an argument, but you kind of see their side of things and you say, well, that counts too. This perfect understanding, this that only love can afford. Ego can't afford it. The generosity of love in the moment. This perfect faith in the other person, even though everything they say sounds wrong, but everything they mean sounds right. It's a holy relationship. That gift of the holy relationship that we're talking about. Please continue. Oh, no, it's me. Okay, I will. Would you? Okay, so that's pretty big, right? I'm talking to myself out loud. You ought to see me argue with myself. I already read. No, you haven't finished. Okay. This is so huge then, because everything that you could possibly want or need is given you in the moment that you put the differences down. That's what a holy relationship is. The special relationship is all about differences, and we're negotiating, so what's fair? No, the holy relationship is all what about is shared. What is the same and what we want? We're joining. Would you want to give anything other than that to anybody, somebody you loved? Then joining with them, perfect faith, even though what they say is wrong, even though what they want to do is wrong, but the fact they want to do it is right. You connect at that level and we can start negotiating. That's a holy relationship. Okay? Would you want to give anything for any other gift? This gift returns, check it out, the laws of God to your remembrance. As you give, you receive. And merely by remembering the laws of God, the laws that held you prisoner to pay in death, the ego, must be forgotten. This is no gift your brother's body offers you. And your ego's looking at what your brother's body should have, would have said, or should have, would have done, or where it should have been, at what time, and it wasn't. That's all the ego. The brother's body doesn't. No, 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 no. It's that energy behind what the body appears to be doing. The veil that hides the gift of perfect understanding hides your brother as well. The veil that hides the gift your brother would give is what we call the ego. Judgment. Hate. Impatience. Anger. Their body. What it looks like, what it sounds like, what it smells like. This would hide your brother. But not on the material level. Right? On the spiritual level, it's a beyond thing. Okay? Your brother, as Kenny noticed, there's something else underneath the appearance. That is the gift to both of you. Kenny got it right away. He got the gift. He's not sure what he's going to do with it, maybe, but he felt it. He got the gift that he gave. That is the gift. And yet, your assholy brother, who's been causing you all this trouble and you're trying to have a holy relationship with, he does not know. He knows it not that he is the, his true self is the gift, but you do. It's time for you to channel the Holy Spirit into the relationship. Miracle Principle 8, he says, a miracle is given by one who temporarily has more to one who temporarily has less. He's thinking pretty poorly of his life and his situation.
How would you channel the Holy Spirit into that relationship?
You would see through their eyes. For example, you would go quiet for a minute in that difficult situation, and you would say, I need to know what you are after. What are you feeling about this?
You say that to yourself?
No, you say it out loud.
Yeah.
First you say it to yourself so you know you're honest. Do I care enough about this person? The real person behind the appearance. So that I can be free and not hold them in prison. Do I really want to be free? Yes. Then I need to open my mind to what's behind their words.
So you're just asking, what do you, or her?
Yeah.
Asking, what do you really want?
Tell me again.
I know I've been behind all this yeah. crap about this, that, or the other.
Yeah.
What is it really going on? What do you need?
Just say, tell me more.
Yeah.
To fill it in. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I get it.
Yeah.
But I want to get it.
Help me understand it.
Help me understand this. It's great. And that begins to break down. The fight started to get quieter because they said, well, thank you. What I really mean is, and they're not defending themselves so much, they might actually come up with more honest words.
Right.
That are a little more vulnerable. And now the conversation begins.
That's cool.
Real communication happens because now it's a giving and a taking and a giving and a receiving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But also, as Kenny said, you almost, I think you said this, Kenny, I heard this anyway, you don't have to talk. You don't have to say anything about what they're saying. You
yeah.
can just listen to what they're saying and see it through them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. That's right. That's right.
And I think part of doing that allows them to get what they really are also.
Yeah. And if you ask the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit says, don't say a thing. Listen.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're willing to actually do that and be non-defensive and just listen, your shoulders will drop, your eyes will open, and they will see that you are not defending yourself with every word they say. You're getting ready to defend yourself with another sentence. So wrap around their neck and hang them. No. You're patiently listening. It looks different. It looks different on your face. Even though you're not going to say a word. Oh, yeah. You bet. Thanks, little man. Okay, so he is the gift, and yet he knows it not. And no more do you, really. And yet, have faith that capital He who sees the gift in you, that's the Holy Spirit, and your brother, will offer and receive it for you both. This is where faith comes in. Mm-hmm. And through his vision, will you see it? And through his understanding, recognize it and love it as your own.
You know, it's interesting because when I do that with my clients, that allows us both to end up laughing about
yes.
what they were so upset about before. When they find the truth in themselves about what's really going on, they realize it's not nearly as bad as they thought it was.
Isn't that the case of the whole world? And everything that you've been through in your life, all those troublesome things, and there have been some nasty ones, whether it was sickness or a car crash or a grade at school or a breakup or a divorce or a death, all of these things, it sure could have been worse than they were. And some of them were downright silly. And the most of them never happened. Most of the terrible things in your life that you worried about never even happened. But, like, you know, nine out of ten things you worry about don't happen. Oh, man, you got to do better than that. Oh, my God. Well, let's do this last paragraph. Ooh. We have 10 minutes.
We like went through that section fast.
We just ripped right through it.
Did you go through like a herd of turtles? 16, 17,
like a herd of turtles going uphill.
Yeah, we were on 14, 15.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
We did it 16,
17, like that. Well, we did all 7. 7 was a nice one.
There's another paragraph in the
Holy Relationship. Well, let's read it.
When we both started.
That's what you said.
Oh, I didn't.
She can't believe it. We're going to go for it, Carol.
Yeah.
Tighten your seatbelt.
Woo!
Crazy things happen on Thursday night now. Go for it, Dave. What are these girls doing?
I think that's awkward. Oh.
Okay, yeah.
Sorry.
Be comforted and feel the Holy Spirit watching over you in love and perfect confidence in what he sees. He knows the Son of God and shares his Father's certainty. Certainly the universe rests in his gentle hands in safety and in peace. Let us consider now what he must learn to share his Father's confidence in him. What is he that the Creator of the universe should offer it to him and know it rests in safety? He looks upon himself not as his Father knows him, yet it is impossible the confidence of God should be misplaced.
Okay. There's a little bit of one of the metaphysical teachings of the Course in Miracles buried in this paragraph subtly to grab you and intensify your focus. Let's look at it. Okay, so first he hits a softball from the previous paragraph. It's like, be comforted. Okay, first, remember, the previous paragraph says, your brother doesn't know that he's the gift. Really, you don't either. But the Holy Spirit in you will take this relationship, the cobweb removal, and just let the light pour through, and John and that woman are changed forever. That this is possible? All of us for our giving. Kenny can have a change in mind about somebody and see their true essence, and then it just shifts everything a bit. How could you actually go attack in any way somebody who's a spiritual brother? That kind of changes everything. Forever. So, he says, be comforted and feel the Holy Spirit watching over you in love and perfect confidence in what he sees. So even though your brother's body in time and space doesn't follow through with this spiritual thing that's supposed to be happening now that you've called the Holy Spirit in, you maintain your faith that the joy that you are pursuing is happening. And it's the Holy Spirit's eyes and what we call vision in A Course in Miracles. The ego uses sight, and it may be some more ugliness coming, but the Holy Spirit gives you vision, and there's only beauty coming. And beauty here now as everything, every problem is translated into a call for love or love being answered itself. Okay, that's the Holy Spirit's job, not your ego's job. And Mighty says, she says, you know, it wasn't really me. She says, the giving kind of shows up and comes through me. If Miley tried to give, it might end up with some conditions. But Miley Christ just lets the love pour through. And it seems to be just the right amount. Holy Spirit's job, right? He knows, capitals now, the Son of God, and shares his Father's certainty. The universe rests in his gentle hands, lowercase his, right? That the universe rests in that assholy brother that doesn't deserve the time. Wait a minute. If all these pretty words are said about that person that you're having so much trouble with, there must be another way of looking at him. And that way will bring you peace. That way will spark compassion in you and enough calmness you might even say, tell me more about what you're feeling about this problem we're having. I want to know more. The innocence will start to show up and it will feel good, sound good, look good, and be good. But you must lower the barriers of defense to do it. You must drop the attack to see the innocence.
What I was trying to say.
Good.
I stop attacking.
Yes.
And I feel free myself.
Yes, beautiful. Well said. Now, here we go. Ready? Let us consider now, he's calling you into a meditation. He says, let us consider. Let us consider now. Let us. Okay, us is you and me. Us is Jesus, who already knows, your Holy Spirit, who's listening for you, and you, who wishes you were happier. That's the party here, us. Let us consider now what that assholy brother that you're having so much trouble with must learn. The one who is so upset and worried, the one who is apparently maybe sick, or the one who is feeling that they're out of options, or the one who is worried it's not going to work out. That one. What does that person have to learn to come to peace? Whoa! Right? You see it, Miley. You see it, that this is really not worth worrying about. But they don't see it. They're too busy worrying. They're too busy doing the math on how much trouble this is. The book says, their feng shui book or whatever, things can go wrong. The medical books that you read about when somebody has a condition, this can go wrong if untreated. I didn't get to it early enough. What must they learn to be at peace now? Whoa! Where do I start? That's what this is about right here. This is a circle that is inviting you into a meditation that is actually going to show you how A Course in Miracles works. It's simply said, this is not the only place that says this, by the way. What we're talking about is, ready? Wait for it. Your brother is your savior. 2 weeks ago, we studied this. It's just saying it again here. It's saying that you won't afford enlightenment for yourself. You won't afford to let yourself off the hook. It's just too personal for you to actually be free in this world of time and space and body and responsibility with children and pets and guilt that you have over your own self. It's maybe too much for you just to be free. Jesus knows this. A Course in Miracles knows this. And so you know what it does? It does something like what it's doing right here. It's having you stand next, shoulder to shoulder now, with the capital H, him, who knows. It says, what would it take for your brother to be free? Do you see what he's doing? What would it take for you to be free? Mm-hmm. Is what is really going to happen if you sat and tried with whoever person you have a problem with in your life, if you tried to think, all right, well, he would really have to get a grip on things.
I would really have to get a grip
on things.
Yeah. Oh, and that's why they're such a gift to us.
Amen, sister.
Because we see our... I mean, it's easy to go and bring love to somebody who you love and and loves you back. And, you know, it's all
and
great.
Wish for them to have freedom. Really wish for them to have freedom. But would you do it for yourself with that much gusto?
The only way I can do it is to let them have theirs.
It turns out, he knows this. Of Course in Miracles knows this. That's why this is phrased. After all these pretty words, it says, hey, can we sit down a minute? Would you take a minute and just... This is sentence three. Let us consider now what he must learn to share his father's confidence in him. Surely you can think about your brother now, with Jesus at your side, Holy Spirit at your side. What would it take for him to be at peace with all his troubles? What is he?
Who is the he referred to here?
Your ass-holy brother that you have a problem with.
Yeah, okay.
I've got a few of those.
What is he that the creator of the universe should offer this awareness to him and know it rests in safety? What is he that the creator of the universe offers peace and joy and understanding to? If it's offered, if the purpose of the creator's gift is to give peace and joy to that ass-holy one, who is he really? Who is he really? And you know that that's who you are, really. Because you already think you're better than him. So if he's that good, you must be that good. Or better. You see, it's so tricky, Jesus, here. So tricky. But it's what we need to do to get past your ego.
Tricky Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Tricky Jesus. He's a tricky teacher.
I like that. You know, the thing about this paragraph that means the most to me is that deep within me, I know that this paragraph is absolutely true.
Yes.
It's I have written about it, both a faith and a knowing.
Oh, nice. Excellent. Excellent. Beautiful. That's great. That's absolutely a great line. He looks upon himself not as his father knows him, and yet it's impossible the confidence of God should be misplaced. Isn't that great? He's asking you to look and see yourself, not even...
You know, I'm looking forward to doing what I'm on. I just finished chapter 16, and I'm about halfway through 17.
Oh, boy.
And in those two chapters, the thing that it says to do is to write down those people that you have a problem with, which... in some respects, it's almost everybody. The ones you love.
Gonna need a bigger notebook.
So write down all the things about them that I think is negative about them, so that I realize that's what I'm thinking about myself.
Yes.
And
yes, you can't escape.
Then you read this paragraph, and I know they're not true.
Yeah,
not for them, and not for me.
That's right. And they're all the same.
And they're all the same.
Every one of those judgments turned out to be the same.
No, I love this.
Let's have a circle. Deep breath. Oh, you gave that to yourself right there. You just did it. You just gave yourself that. Give yourself these thoughts of non-judgment. Give yourself the thoughts of faith and trust. That there is part of your mind that can translate any problem you may have and offer you the moment that you can give love to that situation. It might start by quieting your ego first, so you can stop doing all the math of what should be done or could be done. And just give something that's invisible first. Like maybe patience. Or maybe trust. Give a little more trust. Give a little more tolerance. Maybe you just back off a little bit and have faith now in the big picture and don't defend yourself for a little while. And just see how the situation shifts away from a battle. This is you giving. And only you can in that moment. And you will instantly receive. And this is you calling on the Holy Spirit to help out. Translate it back to love. By you giving first. Thank you, thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Good job, everybody. Rocking stuff in this book.
I'm holding on to it.